Let's stand and sing together.
I feel like traveling on tonight. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Nor pain nor death can enter there. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. It's glittering tires, the sun outshine. I feel like traveling on. That heavenly mansion shall be mine. I feel like traveling on. And yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Well, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like traveling on. Until that blessed home I see, I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on.
That's good singing. You may be seated. Amen. All right. Good to be in the Lord's house tonight, Wednesday night prayer meeting. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Who's got a prayer request on their heart tonight? Yes, Brother John.
I got a praise item.
That's good. Amen. Amen.
He left. He went on, and he's with the Lord now. And him and Becky's up there shouting around the throne now.
That is wonderful news, John. Praise the Lord.
Praise Adam. Henry came home. He's at home mending and doing good.
Aggravating Becky. Glad he's home. That is very good. Absolutely. And it, yes. Okay. I must remember that. Brenda Cole, don't forget Brenda Cole. She's getting ready to have some more testing, maybe done down Knoxville or Vandy, wherever she decides to go there. I know Pam is traveling this week, so remember Pam. Yes, Wayne.
Charlotte's kind of sick today. And
okay.
Her two brothers are in pretty bad shape. One is still in the hospital, been in there for 40 days.
Okay, remember that, Wayne. That's a long time in a hospital. That's too long in a hospital, isn't it, brother? Anybody else tonight? Anything on your heart tonight? Good to see you tonight, Jack. Keep Jack in your prayers. He's still going through things. All right. Deanie, don't forget Deanie. Deanie's still trying to recoup from her fracture there of her wrist. And anybody else tonight? All right. Chris, come on. We'll take up the offering, brother. Dear God in heaven, we thank you for this night, Lord, Wednesday night prayer meeting. We come and just lay our burdens down and learn of you out of your word. God, it'll help us be better tomorrow than today. God, we ask this offering be used for your honor and your glory. And God, for every prayer request tonight, Lord, that was lifted up to you, we ask your will be done in each and every life. And we'll give you the praise, honor, and glory in everything that we do and say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sing one more. You can remain seated. 44 in your book. 44. Hear the blessed Savior calling the oppressed. Oh, ye heavy laden, come to me and rest. Come no longer tarry, I your load will bear. Bring me every burden, bring me every care. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. And take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my mind. Come, my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Are you disappointed, wandering here and there, dragging chains of doubt and loaded down with care? Do unholy feelings struggle in your breast? Bring your case to Jesus and he will give you rest. Come unto me and I will give you rest. And take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my mind. Come, my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Have you by temptation often conquered been? Has a sense of weakness brought distress within? Christ will sanctify you if your claim is best. In the Holy Spirit, he will give you rest. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. And take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my mind. Come, my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Amen, that's the truth.
Good to see everyone back this evening. Good to have Becky back. Doris says amen. Doris, did you good, Beck? Yeah. Okay. Good to see the Whitsons. Everybody's here and happy, right? Yeah. If you're not happy, let us know. We can help make you happy. I got the happy book right here. You know, nothing in this old world other than this happy book right here can make you happy. Truly happy. It's your relationship with God that'll make the difference in everything. Chapter 10 of the book of Zechariah, we will begin tonight. Not going to cover a whole lot tonight. We're going to cover the first four verses of Zechariah 10. So if you'll hang in there with us, we'll get that done. We'll do it one verse at a time. There is a split between verses 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. That's the split in here. It's a time frame split into who he's talking to. The first two verses he's talking to them about their where they are right then in verse 3 and 4, he goes back to the future like we have seen him do before. Last week, Zechariah had looked thousands of years into the future in the millennial age. You remember that. Well, this week in chapter 10, he comes back to his own day to apply a little prophetic truth to the present needs of his people. He was always concerned about the needs of his people. He was we call him a prophet, but he was a good pastor. A good pastor cares about the needs of the people, whether they be physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, whatever the need is, he cares. Might not be able to do some about some of those, but at least we care and we can pray for folks. That's what God called us for, was to be a pastor, and a pastor takes care of his flock. His people that he's talking to here, they're pressed. They're still pressed with the task of building the temple. But there was a little bit more going on now. They're suffering now the hardships of years and years of drought that has dried things up, and that can be a problem. I looked at my garden out there today, and man, I'm blessed. I am blessed. I heard that more rain was coming this morning before 9 o'clock, and I grabbed my hoe, and I went out in that garden, and I got morning glories like crazy. You know, they'll come back tonight. Y'all know how they are, don't you? You can cut them down this morning. Tonight, they're right back. But that's okay. I got them down for the rain that was coming. If you don't get them down before the rain, they'll come up around your neck and choke you to death. But I love to see the blooms at the end of the summer. You know, if it wasn't for them choking out my plants, I'd just leave them and let them have a big old field of morning glories. But I can't do that. I got to take care of the plants that I put out. But I'm glad for the rain. And we're going to be talking about rain. That's the reason I'm going on about this. I got in there. I was going to tell you the rest of it. You know, when you get in and the dirt's wet, you come back out, your shoes are heavier, if you know what I mean. I've been in my garden when it was so wet that when I come back out, I just take my foot and kick it like that, and I could kick a piece of dirt a half a block down the street. Big old heavy pieces of dirt. I know this has nothing to do with Zechariah, but you all seem to be interested, so I'm going to keep talking about those things that are interested. But here in this one, they've got a problem, and he's going to help them take care of the problem. He himself can't do anything about it, but what he can do is he can tell them what the Lord said. Now, when he tells them what the Lord said, they know exactly what to do then, and Zechariah's good at that. He's real good at that. He listens to God, then he tells them. So God's promise is not that the Jews would be anything but prosperous. God promised them prosperity. And we know they've had that on their plate for a long time. Jews are a prosperous people. But it's not because of them. It's because of God. I always wondered how they were able to do what they do. If you had any idea how ingrained the Jewish people are in our society in the United States of America, it would amaze you at the amount of money that is tied up with them. They cover a lot of territory when it comes to money. And I told you one time, I think that the last three words in the Jewish Bible was "get the money." And I believe they do too. I love my Jewish brothers, don't you? Yeah, I do. So God's promise was that the Jews would become prosperous at home, but when they were away, and by the way, there was a lot of them not at home. We know that. A lot of them had gone back after the Babylonian captivity. Some of them did not, and some of that was because they liked making the money, probably. And they just liked the way things were up there, and so they just decided to stay. By the way, you know, Daniel stayed his whole life. Remember that? Yep. Stayed his whole life. Never went back home. But God had a reason for that. You may be in an area you don't really like. That's not what's important. Is it God's will that you be where you are? And if you've asked God to show you His will and He says, "Yeah, this is where I want you," you just get in there and go after it, because you may not like it. It may not be going your way. It may be against your grain. Doesn't make any difference. If God's got you there, you're there for a reason. And I'm not saying that where you are is your purpose. I'm saying that if you're in the will of God, that's your purpose. You may be here and it might not be your purpose. But if God's in you being here, it is your purpose to be here. You're His child and He's directing you. And if He's directing you, then you're in His purpose. My purpose for living is not to raise my kids and take care of things around the house and be a pastor of Liberty Fellowship Church, and that's not my purpose in life. My purpose is whatever God's will is for me. That may be something a lot smaller than any of that, or it may be something bigger than that, but whatever it is, I want to be in His will and have His purpose to be my purpose. In the first four verses, they are directed to acknowledge God, God's hand in making them who they were. I've never thought that I was a self-made man. If I had been a self-made man, I probably would have done it differently. But I'm not a self-made man. I realize that by the grace of God, I am what I am. And some of it may look good to you. Some of it may not look so good. I'm sorry about that. I probably won't correct it. So if you can't get over it, you'll just be where you are. Whatever God's made me to be, that's what I am. And if you, but if you have a problem with my personality, or you have a problem with how I come across, come to me and say, "Dan, I don't like the way you come across on certain things." I'll sit down and talk with you. Okay? I will. Promise. So keep that in mind. So we're not just talking about the Jews here. We're talking about us. We're talking about us. God wants us to be everything that we can be for Him. And He told Zechariah, "I want you to tell these folks that I want them to be everything that I need them to be." So Zechariah did. So in verse 1 of chapter 10, he says, "Ask ye of the Lord." Now, that's important in verse 1, because their problem was they were idolaters. They were all about idols. And they had a real issue. In fact, the reason they were in the trouble they were in was because they were serving idols. And God's, through Zechariah, is trying to get them away from that. But so that's why he told him, ask ye of the Lord rain. Because for one thing, Zechariah knew if they were going to get rain, it was going to come from the Lord. It's not going to come from any other way. I know we have people who believe they can bring down rain, you know, rainmakers. Anybody believe in rainmakers? Thank you. I don't believe there's one in here who believes that you can go out and make certain noises and holler certain things in the sky and the clouds are going to let go and give you rain. I don't believe anybody in here is going to do that. But I can tell you this, when God wants you to have rain, he'll speak to the rain and rain comes down and you get all you want of it. He says, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. Now that may sound a little confusing when he says, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So that tells me there's two rains, right? It's not the same rain. There is a first rain and a latter rain. The first rain is in the fall of the year. The latter rain is in the spring of the year. So God knew that if we were going to be able to grow what he wanted us to grow, he was going to give us rain. And he had a way of giving us rain. Doesn't mean that the latter rain was the same always as the rain in the fall. What it does mean that it goes a lot farther. In the spring is when you need the rain to do what it really does. I remember sometime or other preaching a message on the what the rain has in it when it comes down from heaven. You wouldn't believe all the chemicals, the fertilizer that God sends down with the rain. It's not just water. It is chemicalized by God himself. And when it comes down, it does everything. That's why after a good rain, you can look out and your grass is as green as it can be. It wasn't just because of the water, because you can stand out there at the water hose and just about kill your grass. But it's what came from heaven. And the rains came down from heaven, and God sent it down for a specific purpose, and that was to grow the things that you have here on earth. But the latter rain has two purposes. It is the rain in the latter rain. It will water the earth, but it goes more than that. The latter rain is a blessing that comes from God. That's why you have some Pentecostal folks who have services called the latter rain, because they believe that it's a Pentecostal movement or a spiritual movement that can do more than just wet your lawn. And we believe that too. So he says, ask ye the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds. Now he's talking a little bit about who is our weatherman on 11 now. I can't keep up with Mark. Is he still there? Is Mark still there? Okay, I can't keep up with him. But the one I like now is the one, the lady that does this. You know, when she's pointing at the map, it's... So next time you see her, you'll say, yeah, I see what he's talking about. Very distinct and right on, spot on where it's going to be. But Mark, I've had Mark around for years, so I'm going to listen to him. But Mark tells you all about the bright clouds. He tells you all about lightning and thunder. He'll even describe to you what's happening when the rain's coming down. And if it's coming down straight or sideways or... He'll let you know why that's happening. He'll let you know which way the wind's coming. If it's coming from the south, coming from the north, it's coming from the west or east, he'll say that's where it's coming from. So get ready for it. Now here, he says, if you pray to the Lord for the rain, get ready for the rain. That's just keeping it simple. He doesn't go into all of Mark's stuff. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. Let's get all this together now. Sometimes I feel like we have touches of latter rain. Don't you? And by the way, sometimes we need the rain. And I'm not talking about rain for our lawns and our gardens either. Sometimes we need a little bit of the latter rain to come down and bless our souls so that we can let loose and let God work in our lives and let somebody see that the Holy Spirit is still alive and working in Christian people. So we have the rain and the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain. We call them showers of blessings. Right? Yeah. I don't know how the course exactly goes, but blessing. Anyway, for the dollars we plead. No, that's one way it goes, does it? I'll share that with you sometime, okay? But anyway, we're talking about rain now. So I want you to know, when you leave here, I want rain to be in your head, but I don't want it to be in your head because it's been raining on and off all day and that we have two or three more days of rain coming on. I don't want it to be in there because we're talking about raindrops keep falling on my head. I want us to remember rain as a latter rain. Because, see, God can bring a rain to water your garden, but he also can bring a rain to water your soul. To energize what you are inside. And sometime when you get an opportunity, you can look up what all the rain does when it comes down out of heaven. And if you don't find all that you need to know, tell me and I'll preach that message again. Because it was a message that got my attention. You know, that's pretty good when the person that preaches it gets their attention too, right? But long before you all ever get it. So he says, pray for rain. Pray to the Lord, nobody else. In the time of latter rain is when I want you to pray for rain, because I want you to understand that it's not just a rain to water the earth. It is a rain to water your soul and to make you what I want you to be. God doesn't care what we are in the rain. He doesn't care if we sing in the rain. He wants us to be what we're going to be in the latter rain. So he says, these rains mark the beginning and the ending of the Jewish harvest. So in the fall, just like us, when in the fall we take in the grains, the harvest, and in the spring, it begins again. The latter rain is in the spring, so it does most of the good for bringing the harvest around. Now, the latter rain teaches us something, and it teaches us that at the end of the age, it's not going to go away. The things God gives us never go away. But in the end of the age, the latter rain is going to be a time of miracles that were performed by Jesus up to a level of what Jesus did in the miracles in the New Testament. So there's going to be a whole lot come along because of the latter rains. I want the latter rain working in my life. You might not understand that statement. I don't understand it all myself, but I know what I want. I want to be closer to God. I want more things happening out of my life that will help somebody else have an eternal life and go on and be with the Lord. So let's pray that God will give us rain, but let's pray that God will give us the latter rain, the rain and the latter rain. Look at verse 2, because now he begins talking about what was their problem. For the idols have spoken vanity. Their idols now, not the enemy nations that had come in and did them harm and everything. He's talking about their idols, the idols they had taken on. And a lot of them took on idols because they were mixing with other nations that they weren't supposed to be mixing with. So when they got down there mixing with those nations, they got into their idols, and just like in Babylon, they stayed there because they liked some things. Well, they get down mixing with other nations, and if you think for one minute that will never affect you, you got another thought coming. You go out there and start messing around with where God doesn't want you to be and where Satan's happy that you are, and I promise you that some of the things you'll be messing with will come into your life. You can't go messing around out there with the wrong element and think that you can take care of the wrong element and make it right. A lot of the wrong's going to come into your right. It will. So he says, for the idols have spoken vanity. Now, we've we know that the Bible also teaches that idols can't speak. They're made of wood, stone, metal, whatever, whatever the items are. And idols are just things that we put before God anyway in our own personal lives. But we know they don't speak. They're dead. That's why it's such a mind-boggling thing that a Christian would take on some kind of idol in their life that would make their life better. Nothing outside Jesus Christ as your Savior and God as your Heavenly Father is going to make your life better. You may enjoy something for a season. You may enjoy something for a moment, but it's not going to make your life better, the whole of your life. So they speak vanity. In other words, they're empty. It's the bottom line. For the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners... This comes right on with idols, with crystal balls, with decks of cards, you know, that sort of thing. Now, I know none of y'all have ever gone to a crystal ball reader, right? If you don't know if you ever did, just do this, okay? But anyway, a Christian can't mess around with that stuff, folks. That's of the devil himself, and you can't mess around. We may laugh about it, and we may mention the crystal ball, but we would never go there to find out anything. God will tell you everything you need to know. For your idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie. So if you want to know where you're going to go when you get into the idols of this old world, you're going to go more into lying and corrupt, confusion, and any other words that start with C that you can think of that would be the wrong way for your life to go. It'll certainly take you there. So the diviners have seen a lie and have told false dreams. False dreams. If I dream something one night, I may remember some of it. And if I do, I may tell somebody that I dreamed according to what it is. I may say I had a dream last night. I'm not going to say I had a false dream. How would I know that I had a false dream, right? I wouldn't know that I had a false dream. But here he's saying that that they are told false dreams. Folks, this whole world can tell you anything in the form of a lie. And if you're not in the right frame of mind in your relationship with God, you'll believe it. And that's where these people were. And Zechariah is saying, we need to get this straightened out. You need to be where God wants you to be. So he's trying to get us there and get them there. He says, and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain. Vain is vanity. No, there's nothing to it. There's really nothing there. In Thessalonians, we're told to comfort each other with the word of God. So if you want true comfort in your life, you want your life to have the peace and the rest that it's supposed to have, go to the word of God and just read and read. Ask the Holy Spirit to show things to you, and I promise you it'll happen. You'll get comfort in your life. Therefore, they went their way as a flock. Oh, so we got another problem now. Some of them were going out as onesies, but when they got out there, they were getting the flock together. Did you know that if you have any influence at all on other people, you can have your own flock by the nightfall? Sure can. You can use your influence to go out, and you can have other people, and you can call it your flock, thinking just like you think. So it would behoove us to make sure that we're grounded in the Word of God, and if we're going to influence anybody, it is toward God, not toward us or any belief that we might have down here. It's toward God only. So he says, and they went their way as a flock. They were troubled. Of course they were. We would be troubled here if we had this going on. I thank God that there's such a sweet, connective spirit here at Liberty Fellowship Church. I just thank God for that every day, because it is such a sweet, and I say connective because when it's like that, you'll connect with somebody else, and somebody else will connect with somebody else, and pretty soon you got a really sweet smell in savor, I should say, in the congregation, and it's good. It's good. It can't get any better when it gets like that. But these folks, they were troubled because they had problems. Because, and here's the reason. Because there was no shepherd. That's the real cause. They were there because they went the wrong way. They had no shepherd. Can you imagine... I've seen churches go sometimes as long as a year or two without a pastor. And that's not ever good for a church to go that long without a pastor. It's never that good to get a pastor that's not meant for that congregation either, but that's beside the point and what the point I'm trying to make. A church needs a pastor. They need a shepherd. They need someone who cares. You know, a shepherd cares. Like in the Old Testament, one of the greatest shepherds, I suppose, ever was David. David was a good shepherd. He was a man after God's own heart, wasn't he? Yes, he was. Zechariah was concerned for his people as a good shepherd was. And what he wanted his people to know was they too could become shepherds. Don't have to answer a call to preach to be a shepherd, by the way. You don't have to get paperwork to be a preacher. Every child of God can share the message. Everyone can. The reason we have license and ordination of preachers is so that we can conduct business that needs licensed and ordained preachers. That's why. But every one of us should be people who are sharing the gospel out there in the community where folks are lost every day. We need to see that. But he didn't hesitate, Zechariah didn't hesitate to emphasize the fact that the nation's troubles was because of their idolatry, and that's why they are where they are, but they can be helped. He summarized the problem in verse 2. So when you read verse 2, you're going to get how he summarized the whole thing. It's a wonderful verse to just take it one word at a time and give it thought, because I promise you, you'll see what he's talking about. And when he ends it with "there was no shepherd," you'll see why that was so. But David, that ideal shepherd, anybody remember probably one of the psalms that's the most read psalm of any of the psalms ever was what? Psalm 23. Read that again and again. That came from a shepherd's heart. That came from a person who knew what it was to have a shepherd and to be a shepherd. And I want our church to know what it's like to have a shepherd and to be a shepherd. What happens is idols are going to cause us to go in the wrong direction if we were to happen to take an idol into our life, and they'll end up leaving you different than when you got started. They'll leave you empty. Nobody likes empty, right? I don't like to look down and see my gas tank empty. Especially nowadays. Back in the day when I had some of those old cars, I could flip out of gear if it started spitting and sputtering and it was about to run out. I knew where the nearest service station was, and if I had my speed up enough, I could flip that thing out of gear and coast into the gas pumps. It was a miracle. I guess none of you have ever done that, right? Well, I have many times. And then I got to where I made a few more dollars and I could put a few more dollars of gas in there. And after a while, I just got to thinking, well, when I get down to a quarter of a tank, I'm going to put some gas in this thing. Now, Food City's got me to thinking I have to have that 15 cents off. And so I run it down closer to empty so I can get it, my close to my 20-gallon that they're going to let me have for 15 cents off. So sometimes when you get a chance to figure that, it's not going to make you rich getting that 15 cents off, okay? Or if they have their Wednesday when you can get 30 cents, they do that how many times? About four or five times a year. And we would kill people to get to the pumps for that. And it doesn't mean a whole lot. Now I'm going to get back on track. Here we go. Ready? I know y'all like that kind of stuff because it keeps you where we are. I was telling you that it will leave you empty if you go and get something in your life that you think is going to help fill you up. Fill your tank up. It ain't going to fill your tank up. It will leave you empty. Not just feeling empty. It'll leave you empty. You will be empty, and you'll be believing lies that you never thought you would believe. You will. It's where he's going to leave you. And by the way, according to that scripture I just read, it'll cause you to drag somebody right down with you. And pretty soon, you got a whole flock of people thinking the way you think and going the wrong direction. And please give that thought before you ever go in that direction. They were a troubled people. They were a troubled people because they were going in the wrong direction. And if you go in the wrong direction, you'll be a troubled people. And they wandered farther and farther away. It's never just I'll just step right outside the line here. I'll stay as close as I can so I can jump back in the batter's box. You know, I'll just stay real close to the line. No, you don't do that. A lot of times when you step outside that line, you go on and go to the dugout. Some people just go out the gate and go on down the road. I know that sounds a little confusing to you, but if you'll stick with my thought plan here, I think you'll see what I'm talking about. You'll get farther away than you really wanted to go. You won't be back in the game anymore. When you're not in the game, you're not happy. You're not. Verse 3, he says this. He says, "Mine anger was kindled against the shepherds, and I punished the goats. For the Lord of hosts hath visited his flock." Now here's where we jump from where he was talking to his people, where he was, and he goes back into the future, the coming of the Lord. He always let them know that the Lord's coming. And I always want to, when I preach, I want you to know that he's coming. He's coming, and he's coming to get his church. Now, if you're a child of God, that sounds real good to you, doesn't it? But you got to also remember, he's coming to judge. Judgment is coming along with the love he has for his church. His judgment is coming also. So if you know someone who's lost, you need to pay a lot of attention to them and give them the gospel so that they can be saved before he comes back. Because when he comes back with his judgment, there's nothing anybody's going to be able to do. So it says here, "And the Lord of hosts hath visited the flock." That's a good idea there to visit the flock. I like it when he visits us, don't you? He is visiting to change the people from who they were to what he wants them to be. Now, let me give you an idea here. How many of y'all know the story of how the Jews got taken in by the Germans and put on, loaded on boxcars and sent to concentration camps and thousands and thousands and thousands, millions maybe, ended up in gas chambers? You remember that? Did you ever see any video of that? It's sad. It's sad. They were going just like they were cattle. And some of them knew that they were going to their death. But they just went as little meek and humble. That's not going to happen anymore. That's not going to happen anymore. That, because he's telling us right here in this verse of Scripture, that's not going to happen anymore. The Jews are not going to go meek and humble anymore. Does it mean that they can do something on their own and win wars that are coming their way? No, it doesn't mean that. But they're not going to go meek and humble anymore. They are what he wanted them to be. See, what the reason he came to the flock was to change them from sheep to warriors, to horses. Could I make it that way? Well, let me read it, and you'll see what he said. "Visit flock, house of Judah, and hath made them of his goodly horse in the battle. A good horse in the battle is not necessarily one that you'd like to have around for a pet. A goodly horse in the battle is a war horse. I saw that movie. Did y'all see that movie, War Horse? Look it up. It's good. I love movies about horses and dogs. Don't like people at all, but I like horses and dogs. But if you want to see a good one about that, look at it. You'll really like it. So what he wanted them to be was what he was going to make them to be. And today they are, by the way. Now, if you think for 1 minute they don't have the technology and the grit and the wherewithal to do what they're going to do, they're going to do it. When Russia comes down at the end of this whole thing, and you know Russia's coming down from the north, when Russia comes down to throw their armor at Israel, they better rest assured Israel's going to whoop them up one side and down the other. It's going to happen. And if the Russians are listening to me right now, they need to hear this. Better get right with God, because when you go down to get on Israel, you're not going to just face a bunch of people. You're going to face God Almighty, and he's going to make sure that his people are exactly what he made them to be. So this is forward to the tribulation period that we're talking about here. Now, in the past, they were who they were, but God made them who they are now. They're not going to be that meek person anymore. They are now a sophisticated war horse. They are. Google where they are in their power. If it came down to nuclear part of it, if God says use it, they'll use it. In the end times, Russia will invade, but they won't like what they catch. Verse 4. Out of him came forth the corner. That makes sense to you? Out of him came forth the corner. Out of him the nail. Out of him the battle bow. Out of him every oppressor together. Now who's the him? You see, Zechariah saw judgment coming here. When he switched in verse 3, he saw judgment coming, but he saw something else coming. Not something else, he saw someone else coming. When God illuminated his mind and gave him what he was teaching these people, God illuminated his mind so that he could see not only what was coming as far as they were concerned, as far as the judgment was concerned, it was that Jesus himself was coming. Isn't that a great story? That not only is judgment coming, but Jesus is coming. Now when Jesus comes, he's going to have the power of that judgment in his hand. And if you're his child, you're not going to taste that judgment, but you'll taste the power of his sweet spirit on your life. Out of him, Judah, he's talking about. And we know that our Savior came from the line of Judah. Out of Judah comes the Messiah. The one we know as Savior of our soul. The one we know as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. That's who he is. And he's coming. We were told of it in the Old Testament. We're told of it in the New Testament. And he's coming. He could come tonight. He could come tomorrow. We don't know. But I tell you what, we better be ready for his coming. Because folks, he's coming. You better get ready. He's coming back for his own. He's coming back for all his children. He's coming back. He's coming back to take us home. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we're grateful for this message tonight. We're grateful for Zechariah. We're grateful that you give us the time and the opportunity to come into your house and hear what you had to say to them and hear what you have to say to us, and wallow in the fact that we're your children and you're a father and you love us and you want to take us home to be with you forever and ever and ever. Amen. We're so, so thankful for that. And Lord, as we leave this building tonight, may we look forward to reaching somebody in the next few days, and then come back to the house of God to worship again and praise you for everything you've done. We're going to praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. As you leave tonight, Les has asked those on the trustee board to stay for just a few minutes. So if you will, just hang loose, and the rest of you, go ahead and get out as soon as you can. Did that sound awful? I see most of you laugh, so it didn't hurt anybody's feelings. God bless you, and I'll see you, Lord willing, Sunday morning.